This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey ducking. That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN, which is brought to you by DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app now and get started exploring some of the best New York has to offer. DoorDash, get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
It's really ridiculous for anybody in the Northeast to be named Judd.
And good evening to Don.
We don't know a lot about the Gimp. Not a thing.
And to Michael.
That's a different room. That's an exalted room. That's heaven.
And to Don.
Get out of the league. Is that today?
It sounds like it might have been today.
Hmm.
The exalted room, that's heaven. That's something. Huh?
Huh?
Am I right or am I right?
We're coming to the end of the season. I mean, we got to get the great drops in.
Oh, this is going to be so epic. I'm so looking forward to Drop Madness. We've got so...
Andrew's not.
Well, listen, it's a lot of work, but I think it's something he takes a lot of pride in. I think it's a passion play for him.
Oh, no,
certainly no money exchanges hands.
What do you mean?
He doesn't get paid extra to do it.
Oh. I thought you meant like maybe he takes money. He's on the take, I thought you meant.
No.
Oh, if he was, I'd explore that.
That could be bought.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah, you care to name a price?
We'll talk off air.
What would you all pay right to win Drop Madness? Really? Throw a figure out.
Me?
Either of you.
I would never want to influence an election.
Of course. You know, what pride could you take in it?
Yeah. Well, Michael's such a fair person. Michael's not at all the kind of person who would tamper with results like that, is he?
Nope.
Don, you think Michael would never tamper with results?
No, I he's too ethical. I think he would be tempted.
No.
Think he hates to lose. But when it finally came down, he would feel too dirty.
He'd feel too dirty to fork over the actual money.
Right.
But if there was a way that he could subvert and sort of like quietly change things, he would.
Oh, listen, here's what I would. Plays the game like him.
Here's what I would consider. This is, I'm being totally honest. Andrew, I want you to listen to this. I don't have to give you my picks before time because I go first. For $100, if you tell me what Peter's picks are, I'll give you the $100.
No, you would.
No, I would. And then I would just pick his picks and then he's dead. Mm-hmm. Dead.
Wow.
How would you live with yourself?
Very easily. How would I live with myself with red hair?
Well, but that's just something that you have to do. You're being humiliated, but part of you wanting to win is to prove that you're the best. If you've got to pay for it, then you won't be able to sleep at night. Like, oh, this is what I had to do to win the weekly pick pool.
No, I can honestly say I would sleep like an infant.
Then you're a bad guy. I mean, that's the answer then. That if you would sleep like a baby, then you are a bad guy. And of all the times I make fun of you, honestly, you're not a bad guy. You wouldn't do it.
Are you sure he's not a bad guy?
Andrew, would you consider $100 for that info?
Absolutely not.
What would it
take? Hold Drop Madness and what would it take?
No, not Drop Madness. I'm talking about
Peter's
picks.
The pick segment, drop all of it, I hold in a higher esteem than
$100. What would get your attention?
I think it's got to be 4 digits.
We'll talk. Off
wow,
air.
Really? That could be bought. A week of red hair is worth that much to you?
No, it's just I guess he is a bad guy. He win at all costs. Doesn't matter how you feel in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, awful. Awful human being.
These are sad things to learn. let's hear from Kyler Murray. He was asked about Arizona's season ultimately being a failure.
JJ said when he looks back at this season, it's going to be a major failure, massive failure. What are your thoughts on the season?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I play to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal. That's the mission, is to win the Super Bowl, not to, you know, make it to the playoffs or go to the second round. You know, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. We fell short of that. So, yes, I agree.
If I was a forward-thinking baseball organization, because his rights are no longer owned by the A's, I would make him an offer just to have him aboard.
You're nuts.
I mean, if he has a bad year next year, he's not getting a big money contract. He's supposedly a top-flight baseball player.
Yeah, but the work he'd have to put in to be at the spot that he's now, he's a starting quarterback of a playoff team. Now he's going to give that all up.
I'm not saying that he would, but I would want to cover my bases and make him an offer and bring him into the organization, like the Yankees have done with Russell Wilson.
No shot. Now, listen, he could do what he wants. I wouldn't do it. You have no idea what kind of baseball player he's going to become.
He was a first-round draft pick,
fine.
Don.
There's been plenty of first-round draft choices that never made it to baseball. Baseball is as humbling a sport as there is. Guys get drafted. How many rounds are there? Guys that never make it, never get a sniff. He's there. He's made the party. He's made the dance. Now, how good he's going to be,
didn't
we
dance
don't
well
know.
Last night.
But he's there.
Well, he had two left feet last night.
All right. It was a bad playoff game. It was. Eli's first playoff game, he got shut out. In his own building, looked awful against Carolina. 2 years later, he's winning a Super Bowl. Who's to say that Kyler Murray can't do that? He gives that all up to go play baseball and maybe never makes it to the bigs.
Is he misunderstanding me, Peter? I'm not saying that he would. I'd like to cover my bases until, let's say he's just completely defeated and says, you know what, I'm going to go play for the Yankees or the Mets or whoever gives him the money.
He would be insane. I would actually institutionalize him if he did that.
Interesting.
Yeah, but what kind of professional football player ever occasionally plays with the Yankees? Huh?
Huh?
Who?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's right. The Seahawks have fired their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr., and their defensive passing game coordinator, Andre Curtis.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Someone's got to pay.
Yep. I guess it's not Pete Carroll.
Well, I mean, should it be Pete Carroll?
No, I don't think so, but I mean, I just love when people pass the buck. The head coach is the head coach. If they're not coaching the right way, tell them how to coach, because Ken Norton was there when they were pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see. I mean, they gave up a decent amount of points this year.
Was Norton there when they won the Super Bowl, Don? Has he been there that long?
I don't know. I got to look it up.
Oh, it was Dan Quinn.
Not sure.
It was Dan Quinn.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so he's – I mean, people get fired, Michael.
I know.
That was a really bad season for Seattle. And think about the – now they don't have a first-round pick because they thought – remember, they made a trade to get Jamal Adams thinking they were going to win a Super Bowl last year.
I love, by the way, how a really bad season for Seattle, really bad, was still 7 wins. And
think of that division.
Right.
Right, so let's stick him in the NFC East. What's their record?
By the way, Russell Wilson appeared last night on the Manning Cast.
Yes, he did.
I was a little, I don't know if I'd feel like being on the Manning Cast if coming out of a weekend where everyone else in my division was playing in the playoffs.
And if he wants to leave Seattle, that means whoever signs him is going to lose their first game.
Wait, what?
He thinks the Manning jinx will actually move over to the
Well, Don, guess what?
Next season.
If that's true, I would just like to volunteer for that loss in Washington.
So you're willing to do that?
I am fully in the mode of the only thing I care about my team doing in this offseason is making a deal with the devil, if they have to get an established, really good quarterback. You just can't compete otherwise. So how many years do I have where I got a bunch of pieces that are good? You can't just go throwing away seasons without a top-flight quarterback. We watch it. Even if you make the playoffs, you'll turn into a joke. You turn into a pumpkin like they did this weekend.
Good
and
point.
Also, you know what I was thinking earlier in our Dak Prescott conversation? On a broader level, and I understand we have a bigger body of work, but I'm going to present this to you. At some point, can you start applying the same logic that you apply to Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold to Dak Prescott? I don't mean that he's not much better than them both. He is. But in terms of the when do you decide if someone has it or not, how many shots does he get before we're like, I'm not sure which level he's at? He's not at the top level.
But that's a hard call to make. I mean, John Elway lost his first three Super Bowls, right? Jim Kelly's in the Hall of Fame. He lost four. So, I mean, you can't even mention Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold in the same breath as Dak Prescott.
No, I don't mean it skill level wise. I mean in terms of making a determination about what they really are. Of course, Dak Prescott's a starting quarterback in this league. I'm not doubting that at all.
And you can't throw Jim Kelly and John Elway's Super Bowl losses.
No, they've shown a lot more.
And the thing that people lose on the John Elway, he was a massive underdog in all three of the Super Bowls he lost. Jim Kelly was an underdog in three of the four Super Bowls. The only one they really should have won was the Giant one. You know, but look at all the games that they won to get to the Super Bowl. They were just asking Dak to win a playoff game. And one thing's for sure, though, he is the best quarterback in this division.
That is for sure. But, like, I mean, he had the moment. They got the ball back. Chance to win the game. That's what you want. And he's at a stage in his career where you would think with the weapon. I felt strongly when they got the ball back. With whatever it was, 2.5 minutes left?
Yeah, that's the one, not the one with 35
no,
seconds
no.
left.
2.5 minutes left, down six.
Yeah, and
they get the ball. Go win the game.
Yeah, he did.
You have a ton of weapons. Go win the game. And they had a terrible drive. I don't know. I've been saying forever, I think Dak Prescott's a glorified game manager, and it just seems like that's what we saw this weekend. But
strong.
That's very strong because the stats prove otherwise. I just don't know if he's a big game quarterback.
But there are a lot of – we could go through the list of people that really are game managers who put up big numbers.
But to defend Dak, this is what the Cowboys have been for two decades.
True.
You said the same thing about Tony Romo.
True.
You know, so it's not just him. It's all those players, a lot of good players on this team. And there have been a lot of good players over the last 20 years. This team has won three playoff games in 25 years. So – think of all the quarterbacks, all the great players. DeMarcus Ware didn't win anything until he went to Denver, right? So this whole organization is kind of Dak Prescott is a microcosm of what this Cowboy organization has been for two decades.
Well, how do you guys feel about a new coach, potentially, or a new general manager in the Giants organization?
I think they need one.
Is that something that interests you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have one, I think.
Because Joe Shane was the first interview, a remote interview for the GM job. But he is the first one to meet with the Giants in their second round of interviews.
Today they met.
So we shall see. He's the Bills' assistant GM.
So it's so hard to analyze assistant general managers and wonder how they're going to do in the big seat.
I know.
Unless you hire somebody that's won before as a GM, Peter, how do you know? Yeah, they all come from winning organizations. Otherwise, they wouldn't get a sniff.
And but they don't have the final say.
Right. And how do you know, like, exactly what an assistant GM did at their last job, even if that team was successful?
Isn't it intriguing, Rand Carthen, Don? I mean, his dad won two Super Bowls with the Giants.
Yeah.
One of Parcells' favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand has actually spoken with Parcells. Parcells wants him to get it. That would be quite a lineage.
That would be.
His Rand Carthen?
Yeah.
His father's Maurice. The great Harry Carson.
No.
Oh.
Maurice Carthen.
Oh, got it. Okay. Okay, also, Chiefs Executive Director of Player Personnel, Ryan Poles, is expected to have a second interview. By the time I finish this story, Michael, I'd like you to have a joke related to his last name.
No.
He's expected to have a second interview for the Giants GM job as well.
Why wouldn't you interview Scott Pioli?
He's kind of failed where he's been other than New England.
I'm not saying you got to hire him, but can you interview him?
Why? If you don't want to hire him, maybe
they don't
want to reach out.
They haven't hired
anybody that has had that job before. All nine were assistants.
Buda Baker has been released from the hospital, guys, after that scary run-in with Cam Akers last night. He suffered a concussion. He was taken to the hospital for evaluation, but he tweeted this morning that he was doing good.
Here's one thing that I hope that players learn from that, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So Akers and Baker hit helmets, and you could just see Baker crumble. Akers doesn't know how serious it is. And he's kind of like taunting him.
Yeah, he like walked by and waved at him, kind of.
And then he felt, you could tell he felt awful. Just stop with this nonsense. The pointing of first downs and flexing every time you make a tackle, it's just too much. Again, it's too much. Maybe I'm the old guy in the room. It's too much.
I know you get excited and sometimes you don't think, but why wouldn't you err on the side of not doing anything? Like, for what little satisfaction you have preening after something like that, isn't it much worse when the injury ends up being bad?
Oh, you look terrible.
Just go back to the line of scrimmage, for God. We know you did it. Everybody in the world's watching, okay? God,
it's one sport where
you don't have to show off. Everybody's watching.
All weekend, you see guys making plays on teams that are losing by 20 points, and they're preening. What are you doing? You look like a moron.
Now,
How come a coach doesn't stop it?
I agree with you to a certain extent. I wouldn't say I think there's that much of it that's inappropriate. I think you need a certain amount of it for the game to be, you know, entertaining.
I don't know if you need that to be entertaining. The game's entertaining in its own.
It is, but let's be honest. The game's been better since personality's been injected into it.
All right,
but, I mean, you have to run 40.
I hate the 40-yard run.
To take a picture?
I hate the 40-yard run for the picture. I hate it. And also, it's just unoriginal. I just hate that everyone copies the same thing. Now everyone does the same thing. And why are – I get it. Turnovers are a big deal, but the fact that turnovers all have bigger celebrations than scores I find bizarre.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I have to tell you guys, that speaking of turnovers and touchdowns, the Kyler pick six yesterday was truly one of the most horrifying, awkward plays I've ever watched in football.
You know what it reminded me of?
Please.
Garrow, your premium. At least he was a kicker. Against the Redskins.
That's Washington's only points in that Super Bowl were on that play.
He just looked like he had never played the sport before. And that's what Kyler Murray looked like. It was ridiculous. Did you hear the Mannings? They were like groaning.
And again, if there's 8 minutes left in the game and you're down 14-0, then I completely get it. Because it's not just the 2 points, it's the loss of possession. But when there's 8 minutes left in the second quarter, Take the safety.
But the loss of possession shouldn't even be anything. It was the third down. You're going to punt anyway.
It's the panic setting in because you've been unable to do anything.
But I think at that point when he threw it, it was either that or take the safety. So he just got rid of the ball, which, again, I get late in the game. You can't afford to give up the possession. But with 8 minutes left in the second quarter, there's a big difference between 16-0 and 21-0. So take the sack.
It was a horrifying outing. Browns defensive tackle Malik McDowell facing multiple charges in Florida on Monday.
I saw this story. Wow.
It includes exposing himself in public, aggravated battery on an officer, and resisting arrest with violence. Also known as the Florida triple play.
I was going to say, it's like...
He was lying in the middle of the road, no clothes on.
Also, it's also known as Saturday in Florida.
Now, in his defense, again, like what Peter's saying is that if there's a place that you think you might be able to get away with laying naked in the middle of the road, Florida might be it.
You would think.
Everything
maybe
else
that's
after
his argument.
That, I can't defend him. But he's probably thinking, well, this is Florida. I might be able to get away.
You think that's his lawyer's tact? As he goes, listen, Judge, it's Florida, okay? How much is he hurting anyone? But, yeah, he'd already done he's had a checkered pass and just made a comeback. He had an 11-month jail stay in Michigan in 2019.
Now, I would look at this guy, right? I mean, we're cracking jokes here. I don't think he's a bad guy. There's something wrong with him. Yeah. You don't take off your clothes and lie down in the middle of a road unless there's something wrong with you, and he's out walking amongst us.
Well, that's the problem, Michael, not to get too deep. But when you watch the news every night, the majority of wicked, awful things that are happening
are by damaged people.
Are happening because of what's going on in this country with mental illness.
I mean, you got people pushing people onto the right. tracks and subways.
No, but then they're taking a guy away, and he's rambling. You
right.
know, like the guy that shot the girl in was Burger King. I think he was the one to say, "I'm God, I'm God." So obviously you've got to be sick to do the things that they're doing, but you can clearly see that a lot of the things that are happening are people that are just not right. And,
right.
And,
it's not snappage at that moment. These people,
no.
I mean, don't their families say they're not right? We've got to get them help.
Believe me, I went through it with my aunt last year, Michael. It's a lot easier said than done to get them even the help. Because there's nowhere for families to turn. Because until they become violent, it seems like nobody is willing to step in and help.
Right.
And then when they become violent, it's too late.
Right.
I'm telling
you. Some innocent lost their life.
We don't have the outlet. We don't have a grasp at all in this country on how to deal with mental illness. And it's easy to blame the family, but I'm telling you, even the family sometimes, they're at a loss for what to do. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, then they go over the edge and look at the things that are happening.
Yeah, really, really unfortunate. Don Mika Zibanejad, named the All-Star team.
Yes.
All-Star game as one of the, quote, last men in. So, who puts the last men in? Is that voted by coaches?
That's voted by the fans. So, vote. Which I think is cool. But the thing is that Mika has declined. He's not going to go. So I think Gensel is going to go in his stead for that division.
What are the personal reasons?
He didn't say. I don't know. I don't know what they are. And I believe that that will be a one-game suspension when they come back from the All-Star game. Because when you decline to go, you get suspended for a game because they want guys to go. I mean, the fans went out and voted. I'm not criticizing Mika. He's got to do what he's got to do. And not knowing what the personal reasons are, I can't criticize him for it because I'm sure he'd want to go if the circumstances were right. But because the NHL wants guys to go to the All-Star game, that you're subject to a one-game suspension. I don't know if that falls under this because of being the last one in vote. But I guess it would have been cool if he let people know he wasn't going to go so he wouldn't have been eligible for the vote. But you know, he's got his reasons, but I think he will be suspended one game for that.
Also, maybe something for us to talk about in the last half hour of the show, the NHL stopping testing of asymptomatic players and staff members following the All-Star break.
Yes.
This is I wonder how influential this will be on other sports and, frankly, society at large in terms of trying to get people just back to working.
Now, you'll still be subject to be tested when you cross the border.
Okay.
And every player that comes back from the All-Star break will have to test when they return to the facility. But after that, no vaccinated, asymptomatic player will be tested. So I guess all the random tests are gone.
So what player would even say if he had sniffles or a sore throat if he wants to play?
That's what's interesting. Is this going to – because on the surface it looks like, well, now we won't see as many players test positive because you won't be testing unless you're sick. But
or if the guy's in the corner choking like he just smoked a pack of Camels, I mean, that's the only way you're going to know.
Well, I assume there'll be a lot of trust in players to report when they feel sick at all.
Players want to go back in after they have a concussion, Peter. They're not going to report.
Great point.
Right, but, you know, obviously you take temperatures and there's some things that you can see, like you said, a cough or if a player has the chills. But there could be the symptom of things that aren't being picked up, like a headache.
Right.
Or
there's no player that's going to the train and go, "I have a headache," and then get tested. He's just not doing it.
But that player also has to realize that by lying and going out there and playing, he could subject other players to get COVID that might not have it as easy as them, right? So
are you talking about people caring about other people?
I still think they're going to hide it.
Lastly, Alabama coach Nick Saban, among a handful of important figures from West Virginia, to sign a letter to Senator Joe Manchin to support the passage of the Freedom to Vote Act. The letter also included, you guys want to guess? You could probably guess someone else who's on it.
Jerry West is from West Virginia.
That's right. Mm. Jerry West is on there. Oliver Luck is there. Daryl Talley and Paul Tagliabue. But I don't often do a nice Nick Saban story, so I thought that should be included. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game.
Try the Hennessy Playmaker or the Hennessy Triple Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit www.hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy Hennessy responsibly.
Peter, I think you always enjoy this. I think we might have an instance. We have to really dig a little deeper, but we might have an instance of station-on-station crime. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
No we'll idea what this is about.
Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.